Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Good Friday episode of Top Flight Time Machine. If you're an Iron Filing Society subscriber, you'll get that on Good Thursday evening. Good Friday Eve. I'm not sure which of those it is, but yeah. It's also one of the ones that we've done where we are contractually obliged to video ourselves on YouTube and then put it on the YouTube for you to look at if you want to. It's up to you.
You want to come and have a look at our faces? Right? Yeah, I'm all right. I was involved. I was the victim of a road rage incident this morning.
No way.
And for once, I was not part of the problem. Very often, I don't bring it on myself, but if someone starts something on the road, then I will often escalate matters. But this guy was
absolutely possible.
It was so mad. It was like, it was like entertaining. Like, on a very residential street, like, I'm talking like a Terry and June level street, right? There's a bus that goes down some of the residential streets round my way, and they're not really bus appropriate, but it's just sort of some weird route that the local bus people have deemed to be necessary. And it does cause a problem because you'll be going down this quiet street and there's cars parked on either side. If a bus comes the other way, you are fucked, right? Single decker bus.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm driving down the road and there's no, like, very quiet road, birds singing in the trees, you know, idyllic sort of spring morning. Nice. in suburbia. And I see a bus, and there's one car in front of me, and that car indicates, like, fuck this, I'm going round it. So I thought, oh, he's going round. I'll slip in behind him because, you know, then I've got him, like, sort of protection almost. You know, he's covering me.
Yeah.
So I thought, fuck it, I'll slip in behind him. So I slip in behind him, and as we come round the bus, I realise another car waiting on the other side to go the other way, right? Mm. And the guy in the car... he's fucking fuming, like fuming, right? And he starts beeping his horn. Bang, 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 bang. It's such a quiet little street.
He's beeping at beeping Timmy.
Don't fucking beep at me, mate. I wrote the fucking rule book.
Hell.
Right?
You invented the beep, yeah.
And so the car in front, the one who started it, has just thought, fuck this, and just carried on, fucked off. That was the right thing to do. I've gone behind it, and the guy's wound down his window, and I have a... I suppose part of me's like, I wonder what the problem is. So I couldn't quite identify why he was... I mean, he was freaking... He was in a frenzy, right? And
Forming at the mouth?
Yeah. I thought, maybe I've missed something here. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe he's in distress. I don't know. But also partly I thought, he's giving it the big un. The other guy's fucked off. I'm not fucking off. If he's got something to say, say it to me fucking face, big boy. Right?
This is Britain's top journalist in action.
I've stopped and I've wound down the window. And before I could open my mouth, I was just going to do the old classic, what's the problem, mate? Do you know what I mean? Because I would say, although I have been involved in a lot of these sorts of incidents, I am always willing to say, like, very often I don't realise I've done something wrong. You know me, Andy, I'm a daydreamer, right? And I'll often be daydreaming. And then I'll go, what's the problem, mate? And someone will go, fuck's sake, mate, you just cut me up or blah, 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 blah. And then they explain it and I go, oh, shit, sorry, man. My head's in the cloud, sorry. And I will do that, right? I'm willing to take that.
It's
I'm
a good not thing
one
to
these,
do.
I'm not one of these cunts who's like, I've got to be right no matter what, right? But if I think someone's being out of order or over the top or abusive, then... I will push back, let's say, right?
I will hammer them down.
I go, I was about to say, what's the problem, mate? And I'm genuinely interested in the answer. Before I could say a word, he went, That is an Arabic bloke, right? That fucking bus pulled over to let me pass. And what do you do? You come the other way and block me off. You need to fucking behave yourself. This is fucking Europe. He goes, you need to behave yourself. This is Europe, my friend, right? I thought, fucking
T-shirt hell. Idea.
This is Europe, my friend. You cunt. I only live in the next street. Don't tell me where this is. Don't tell me what fucking continent I'm on. You can see my ass from here, right? I didn't get a fucking chance to say that, though, because he carried on. He goes, look what you've done. You don't give a shit about anyone. And now, look, you're fucked. You fucked it for everyone, right? At which point, I've looked in my rearview mirror. There is no other cunt around, apart from the bus. And even the bus only had about fucking three cunts on it, right? Plus the driver, right? And I was for one of the first times in my life, I was dumbfounded, right? Yeah. He went, you have fucked this up for everyone, right?
Everyone in Europe.
Plus as well, right? I'd gone around the bus. It was... Andy, I can tell you, it was a maximum 10-second delay. Maximum 10-second delay this man had suffered, right, to his daily schedule, right? And at this point, the thing that got me smiling, which obviously annoyed him more, because I was trying to get a word in, and then I just thought, I'm not going to, I might as well just drink this in. He'd gone, you went round that bus, and let me tell you, if the police see this, 6 points on your fucking licence, right? And I thought, fucking hell, I'm usually the one to bring up the police. He's gone in well early with this. Wow. So as soon as he said 6 points on your fucking license, I've like got a massive involuntary grin on my face, right? Because I've just thought, what the fuck? what world is he living in, right? The police are passing this suburban street, right, in southwest London. Like, some geezer's just gone round a bus. Pull him over. That's 6 points, right? Fucking police in London don't come out even if someone's fucking trying to burn your house down, mate. So I've gone...
that's sunny London for you.
He goes, I don't know why you're fucking... I don't know why you're laughing. You're fucked the whole day for everyone. And I tried to say I'm not laughing, but again, I couldn't even get that out. And then I thought, how's this going to end? And there was rubberneckers by this stage. There was an elderly couple had come out of their house to observe. Yeah. That's how loud he was being. And he rounded off. I thought, in a minute, he'll pause for breath and then I'll say something. I didn't know what. I'll see what comes to me, right? Hmm. I was in the car with Cookie. She was a bit confused. What's going on? I'm scared, Dad. Right? And I thought I scoped the situation out. I thought, okay, right, I might have to fight this guy.
Are you going to get 6 points on my dog licence?
Don't worry, you don't need a dog licence anymore. Tony Blair got rid of them. He also introduced the dog passport. So that's another good thing that the Blair government did for the dog community. I thought, right, I might have to fight him, so I'll just check if he's got any other, if he's got any backup in the motor, right? And do you know what he had in the motor in the back when I peered, just so I was waiting to get my words in? He had a baby, right? A tiny baby in a baby seat in the back.
And he's doing all that shouting.
I thought, don't be fucking shouting like this. I don't want to have to beat you down in front of your baby, but I will if I have to. Do you know what I
mean? Yeah, yeah. And then I'll take the baby.
I'll fucking run off down the street with your baby if you carry on acting like this, mate. Just as a lesson. I think the baby would be safer out of your fucking custody, if I'm honest. This is the way you go about your business.
And you'll go home and you'll say, good wife.
I've brought this baby. I've got this baby.
I've won us a baby.
Oh, yeah. She go, what's that? I wouldn't say it. I just walk in with it under my arm. She go, what's that you got there? I go, oh, it's a baby. Long story.
Won it in a fight.
What? Oh, yeah, I won it in a fight. There was a road rage incident down the road, and I had to beat up some geezer and then take his baby. Don't worry. We don't have to keep it, unless you want to. If you want to keep it, we'll keep it. If not, I'll hand it in. I'll hand it in to the council. I'll go out to town hall. And where do I hand in a baby? Where did you find it? I didn't find it so much as I want it. Fair and square. But I don't want to keep it. The wife says no. So where do I put it?
That's the rules of fighting, isn't it? You got to take your spoils at the end. Don't, you know, I didn't particularly want it either.
I don't want it. It's like
prize is a prize.
Yeah, it is what it is. You can only beat what's put in front of you.
I said to him, it's the RSPB, isn't it?
It's much like, you know, people sort of criticised West Ham for celebrating winning the Conference League. And I found that very silly because I thought, well, we've won a tournament here and we enjoy it. So how bitter do you have to be to sort of tell people off and resent people for enjoying something that they've won? And it would be the same if someone criticised me for winning a baby in a fight. I'd go, oh, well done, you got a baby, but it's not even your baby. You won it in a fight. I'd be like, yeah, but I still won it. A win's a win.
Still mine.
Hey, respect the 3 points.
You haven't got a baby, have you?
3 points
but
is 3 points.
You wish you'd won one.
Yeah. You're just fucking bitter because you never won a baby. I used to win babies all the time down at the fairground when I was a kid. You could win them. You could get in the ring, fight someone. It was winner stays on, and if you beat them, you won a baby.
Baby with them.
Yeah,
get taken home.
No, he rounded things off by shouting this at me before I got a chance to say anything. He just suddenly accelerated the speed at which you're talking. He goes, "Well done, you ruined everyone's day. You selfish cunt." Like that, really, really loudly. And then he put his foot down and just went, row, into the fucking... I'm not joking. I looked at the dog. The dog looked back at me. I looked over my shoulder at the bus driver. The bus driver just shrugged. Then I looked at the rubberneckers and I shrugged at them as if to say, fucking hell. And they sort of looked... They solemnly nodded, shook their heads from side to side very slowly at me, which I thought, I hope you're not fucking condemning me. I was the victim here.
No, I think it was just at the whole thing.
I'm not surprised. An elderly couple, I think they were scared. They were scared.
In Leafy Barnes.
The dog was scared. They were scared. The bus driver, they don't scare easy. The things that they see,
no.
They've seen the lot, haven't they? Nothing would shock them. Mm. But it was an unsavoury experience.
Might have been scared.
The baby was probably shitting itself.
Yeah.
Dad, what are you doing? Stop shouting at the man. Stop it. I'm only a baby. Oi, stop it or he'll escalate and a man might win me off of you.
I'm going to have to go and live with him.
I don't want to live with him.
I don't like the look of him.
He's weird. He's got a weird dog with him.
Fucking hell. Well, that's a good story.
Yeah, it was like first thing this morning. I was like, how did it... It's a sort of habit. When I used to ride a Vespa around everywhere, I'd have confrontations like every day. And... that was just part and parcel. But I'd be going around, like, central London. It's one of the biggest, most busy cities in the fucking world, right? You'd expect it. I was just driving around fucking suburbia. And next thing I know, there's this geezer shouting, "This is fucking Europe, my friend! The police see you do this, you get 6 points!"
Six points, not three, six.
6 points? What
has fucking... How's he come to that conclusion?
What fucking planet are you living on, you dickhead? I'm not getting 6 points for driving around a fucking bus. Europe or no Europe.
We're not even in fucking Europe anymore.
We're not even. We pulled out. 2016, we took our country back. Keep up. Don't get the fucking bureaucrats in Brussels taking 6 points off me, mate. No danger. That's why we fucking voted to get our country back.
Do you feel as though you have ruined everyone's day?
No, I genuinely reflected on it. I thought, did I ruin anyone's day? I thought, no, fuck that. It's like one of those incidents that... First of all, there'd been no malice in what I'd done. Second of all, the other guy who started it, he'd driven off the fucking cowardly cunt.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And the bus driver was...
Tailgater.
If anyone, I felt guilty, and it was the bus driver and the passengers. But even the bus driver didn't give me shit. And let me tell you, they're not shy about giving you shit, the bus drivers. Mm. They'll fucking give you shit the drop of a hat. He didn't seem that bothered. All I could conclude was this guy was having a really bad day because no one reacts... in such an extreme manner, unless they're really something is they're having a bad day or maybe a bad period. So I thought that was a bit offensive, but at the same time, it was entertaining. And also, the guy's having problems because, like, it was totally over the top. You're selfish cunt! Fucking hell.
Have you got like a dash cam?
No, I should get one, shouldn't I?
I'll get
a fucking dash cam and I'll stick it on the fucking turbo IFS because there'd be all sorts of fun
thing.
Fun
I
games.
Keep thinking I should get one. Some of the things I see,
yeah,
you just think that would look good. Show that to the public. But yeah, they could have tracked him down and invited him on the reset as a guest.
Oh, it'd be great, yeah. A few weeks ago, I was abused and traumatised by an Arab on the streets of my locality. It got me thinking, what made the Arab so angry? So I tracked him down, and I'm delighted to say he joins me on the reset today to talk about the state of his fucking nut.
It's good to be able to give a name to the Arab, and his name is Ray.
Ray, why did you call me a selfish cunt that morning? Because you fucking are one!
I see you haven't calmed down yet, Ray.
Calm down, Ray. Where's your baby? You'll wake your baby up. Yeah.
Well, so that was a weird start to the day. That's good. We got half an episode out of that. What we're meant to be doing is looking at a single issue. Because what we did was we asked the listeners, the Turbo subscribers, we asked to suggest single subjects that we could do. We've done this in the past. We've covered Sweets. We've covered Goosey Goosey Gander. I think we've covered Bedtime and a few others. And we asked them, what do you want to talk about in just a single episode? And we've chosen two. And the first one is today. And it's School Assembly. And it was suggested by Neil. This episode is called School Assembly. You might have worked out by now that's what it's about. School Assembly. I don't remember any secondary school assemblies all that well, but I've got really vivid, strong memories of junior school
assemblies. It's all about the primary school assemblies, isn't it? We did have secondary school ones, but, yeah, I remember them a bit. There was one really famous one, actually, that we talk about a lot, like with a couple of mates who we went to school with. Which was became known as the mum cussing assembly, where the headmaster, who was one of those headmasters you never saw, do you know what I mean? Like he just was in his office all day. It was a series of like underlings and deputies who ran the school. And he was like, I don't know, he was some sort of fucking bureaucrat, right? His name was S.A.S. Williams. I never knew his real name, but on the, you know, they have a board, a pompous sort of fucking board. Head teacher, Mr. S.A.S. Williams. And then
it was S.A.S. It wasn't a nickname.
No, that was his actual initials were S.A.S. But like, to be honest, I think he was pretty ineffectual. He never showed his face. But if he came out on an assembly day, you'd be like, oh, this is something big, because this cunt is fucking, he's lazy. He can't be asked. He gets deputy heads to do the assemblies. He's fucking come out. And we thought, what's all this about? It's like an emergency assembly, right? But maybe someone's died. Sort of thing they do in emergency assembly. But let's be honest, once in a while, someone dies.
The government's been overthrown or the Queen's dead or something like that.
He said, it's come to my attention that a new, ugly, juvenile and vicious new trend has taken hold of the playground and the corridors, right? And we're like, really? What's all this then? I hadn't heard about this. Why can't I get in on it, right? And he went, it is known popularly as mum cussing. Right? And at this stage, like, everyone in the fucking whole hall, like the little kids, the big kids, everyone is just fucking laughing. Stop laughing, it's not funny. It's horrible, it's upsetting. And for those of you who don't know what it means, and everyone's like, we know what it means, it's not new, it's been going on for time immemorial. It is the practice of launching insults at one another's mothers, some of whom you've never even met. It may regard their weight, it may regard their intelligence, their looks.
The size of their breasts.
There is very often insinuations that they have sex for money with strangers.
That they smoke crack.
It is very upsetting to the victims.
Down the park.
And it will... I heard one just the other day. When your mum comes down the stairs, it sounds like the opening bars of EastEnders. Dun, 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 dun. Right. And like he started saying mum cusses, I can't remember, not that EastEnders one, but some others, and it's like, yeah, it became legendary. Like it was so funny. And it was like he's just this old fusty old man in his office And then all of a sudden, one day, someone's told him about mum cussing. And it had probably been going on for years and years. And he was utterly fucking out.
Level.
He couldn't get his head around it. He could not get it. And he was so, he was like, right, emergency assembly now. I'm coming out of retirement. But Mr. Williams, you're not retired. Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm just coming out of my office is what I mean. He's in there doing his Airfix models or something. Yeah, and he came out and called this fuck, and he went mental about it. It was like really mad, like he'd never heard of it before.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
So that's the only secondary school one I remember, but primary school one, it's almost your overriding memory is assemblies.
Oh, they were brilliant. They were really good. We used to do a thing every 2 weeks, I think it was, one of the classes had to do a presentation.
Yeah.
So you'd have, like, you know, the long benches that used to be in the low benches in the PE gym.
Yeah.
You could probably get 10 kids sitting on one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd have three of them, or no, there'd be two of them and then one standing at the back. So the whole class would have to give this presentation on a subject and we'd all stand there with a bit of paper that we had to read out. You know, it would be about leaves or something like, the leaves of this tree are evergreen. That means that they are always on the tree and they are always green. And then someone else goes to the next one and they read something out.
Yeah.
So we have to do this research fucking project thing about fucking trees or whatever. Yeah. There was never anything good like ghosts, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the entire class would do this presentation and we'd be sat there like, oh, this is good.
Fucking hell,
somebody would invariably wet themselves or...
Yeah, the rest of the people... if there was any sort of performance aspect to doing that, because we'd have to do that, I would obviously enjoy it. And but if you were in the audience, it'd be even worse than a teacher doing an assembly. Like, a teacher doing an assembly is bad enough. But, like, when you're, like, watching other kids do, like, what you just said about a boring subject, it was absolutely... Yeah, I remember being bored shitless by that. Another good feature of assemblies, though, which we came up in conversation... earlier on this week on another episode, was big use in the 80s in assemblies at my primary school of the overhead projector.
Yes.
That came into its own, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We're looking to invest in overhead projectors and launch our own range. Yeah. Going to bring them back.
I was thinking about overhead projectors, and a lot of the time there was just like individual sheets, transparent sheets with a water-based pen that you would write on, and the teacher would put one on. And you'd all look at that and whatever, take notes. And then she'd remove that and put on the next one. But actually, I was remembering that in assembly, there was a different setup that you could have on an overhead projector. I don't know if it was like an add-on thing you had to buy or whether. But it was actually a continuous long piece of transparency that was almost on a roller. And you could turn the handle and they would use that for hymns and songs. They'd have all the lyrics written on it, and rather than have to change throughout the song, and someone each day, there'd be a different person selected to be on OHP duty, right? And if you
so
got,
it'd be like the machine that did the credits on a TV show,
exactly like that.
Whoa. And or the beginning of Star Wars.
I can't remember how you got your turn, but you might get one, maximum two turns a year on the overhead projector. Mm. Actually, maybe less, because there would have been more than 365 kids in our school. So basically, if you got the nod, it was like big fucking deal.
Big time.
Right?
You were anointed.
And you're like, fucking hell. And really, because you just think, well, this just livens things up a bit. I get to do something a bit different, you know. So they go, right, come up, you're doing it. And then you'd feel the pressure, because you'd think, what if I don't do this right? It's going to cause chaos. Someone, you fucked it up for everyone, you selfish cunt. I thought it's going to be one of these situations, right? This is Europe, my friend.
That thing about you getting a job that was special and it was a break from the fucking tedium. Me and my mate got to be the milk monitors.
Yeah. What, for a whole term?
When we were in the top year of juniors and we used to deliver the milk to the infant school classes.
Did you really ham it up and whistle like a milkman when you were going around? Hello, no, get a bit too confident with the other teachers. Hello, sweetheart, got your milk here for you.
Yeah.
Don't call me sweetheart, Andrew Dawson.
Like on Gregory's girl, the lad who's left school and he's come back as a window cleaner. He's flirting with the teacher. I'll come around and do your windows for you, miss. I'm sure you will, Billy. No, we had to carry between the two of us, we had to carry the crate full of like 25 milk bottles. Milk bottles.
Well, you said bird shit on the lid sometimes if they'd been left outside.
Or if it was freezing weather, then they'd have frozen and the cream would have come out of the lid would have popped off the top and the cream would have frozen.
And if it was hot weather, the milk would be warm with all lumps of cream in it. Disgusting.
There's your milk. Get it down, yeah.
Drink that, cunts. So drink it. I don't want to drink it. It's got bird shit and mould in it. Fucking drink it.
That's good for you. Yeah, so that was a regular job, but yeah, I felt really special getting to do that. Cause you get to leave the classroom for like 10 minutes while you go and deliver the milk.
Yeah, anything that involved being allowed out of the fucking classroom.
Getting out of lessons was great. Yeah,
yeah.
But school assembly, we had hymn books. Did you not have hymn books?
Yeah, hymn books. We've talked about the hymn book before. I think we may have had the same one. Was it the blue cover of a picture of a load of kids? It looked like Grange Hill. Just loads of little urchins fucking running up to the camera. Yeah. Sing these fucking hymns.
Yeah, I forgot what it was called now, but Jason Manford did a thing about it recently and he ended up re-recording some of the hymns and putting it as a charity single or something like that.
I can't remember them all.
It's the kind of thing we'd come up with, but we haven't done it.
I remember, I suppose the one that I always... Oh, my God. I've just remembered the most Lampard-y shameful thing, right? But I'm really embarrassed, is that I remember taking a day off school because I was ill or something, and my mum had done that thing of saying, when I had the day off, my mum couldn't take a day off work, right? Mm. And so I've talked about this before, but what she'd sometimes say, she'd panic when I was very young and think, I can't leave him on his own all day. So if she took a day off work, she'd worried she'd lose her job, right? So to her, sometimes it would like the lesser of two evils to let one of my brothers stay home to look after me. And this is just two of my brothers were living, it was three of us, and my brother Theo had fucked off. And they would have a massive row. They were both at secondary school. And as soon as they got a sniff of me being ill, they would start rowing with each other about whose turn it was to take the day off. Right.
Yeah.
And like there was incidents where in the end, just to keep his, my mum's just rushing out the door to get to work. She'd just say, sort it out between you. And they'd both stay off to look after me. And of course they wouldn't look after me at all. Quite the opposite.
No.
But anyway, I remember once, it was one of the first times she's just thought, fuck this, he's going to have to stay home on his own. Right. It was probably about 10 towards the end of primary school. And she said, if you stay home on your own, I need you to promise me that you're going to do a proper day because you're not that ill. I need you to promise me that you're going to do a day as if it was a school day. I said, I fucking promise, mum. And she's like, that means once you've had your breakfast, I want you to get dressed. I mean, I didn't have a uniform at primary school. My primary school didn't have a uniform, but dress as if you're going to school, right? And then I want you to do everything as you would do in the day, right? So if it's maths in the morning, I want you to sit and do some maths and blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And she went out and I thought, I'm going to take this seriously. Plus, as well, you'd always be scared of being bored shitless a whole day in the house on your own, wouldn't you? Mm. That, my main thing of being alone
at
home.
Telly was shite back then.
So shite. I would just get so bored. So bored being at home on my own. And so I thought, I'm going to do it, right? And so I watched the clock and I sort of, you know, thought, I'm going to do the equivalent of what I would be doing at school that day. And I included in it assembly. And when it was assembly time, I stood in my kitchen on my own, apart from the dog, who was probably looking at me thinking, you stupid cunt. And I sung the whole of All Creatures Great and Small at the top of my voice in the house on like a Tuesday in the morning.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to remember. But I think I sort of felt a sense of obligation to my mother because I could tell she'd sort of put a lot of faith in me. And
I think once you started, you were kind of committed to the bit as well.
I was committed to it, yeah.
I just thought, I've got to do this.
And I remember I chose only All Creatures Great and Small because it was the only one I could sort of remember the words of without access to this book. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of
the others. Come and Praise was the name of the book, wasn't it?
Come and Praise, yeah.
Come and Praise.
Look up some of the other songs. We sing them every day, but the only one that ever comes to my mind is that or To Be a Pilgrim. That was a good one, wasn't it?
To Be a Pilgrim.
Yeah. What else
Colours
was there?
Colours of Day was my favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Colours of Day, Dawn of the Night.
Hang on, didn't you sing
We've
that
We've done this
once?
Before.
You sung that on one of our live streams.
Colours of Day, Dawn into the Night. Yeah, we've done this before. Well, everything we do now is we've done before, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. If we start fucking...
Apart from new incidents like...
If we start cancelling things out, I'm just looking at some of the other ones. Come and Praise the Lord our King. There are hundreds of sparrows. Fuck off.
Oh, I remember that one.
Praise him. Autumn Days. Oh, yeah, Colours of Day. It's weird. We sung them every day and I don't fucking... Oh, If I Had a Hammer, I remember that one.
Yeah.
We would often change the lyrics to be about football. That was one of the little, you know, tiny acts of rebellion that we thought was fun, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we would have, you know, if
so
I had a
hammer.
So
did you have, like, one of the teachers playing the piano when the hymns were being sung?
Yeah, mate, Miss Hibbard. Best teacher ever. Best teacher ever she was.
Best teacher, best pianist.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
We had Mrs. Brackenbury, who was a brilliant pianist.
Yeah.
Not so great teacher, a bit authoritarian, but she was brilliant on the piano. But then when she was off, Mr. Wilkinson, the PE teacher, would take over, and he played the piano like you'd expect a PE teacher to play the piano.
Smashing the fuck out of it.
Just two fingers just fucking looking at the notes on the fucking sheet.
Oh, God's sake. You would have thought... Like nowadays, you would have thought... I mean, so every primary school has to have a pianist on the staff.
They should do, yeah. It's probably should be part of teacher training.
What about if your pianist... You've got one pianist and then he quits or she quits... and then, like,
you've got to recruit one from somewhere else.
Fucking hell, it can't be
easy.
You've
got to go on the transfer market and try and bring one in.
Yeah, but even if it's just someone on loan, short term
loan.
At
the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be just another
stress.
Well,
you know what? That's school assembly's done. That's our contractual obligation. It's a bank holiday episode.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to say about school assemblies, though, we don't have to go on for ages, but one other thing worth talking about is. You'd always, like in our school, probably same to yours, you had to sit on the floor until you got to what in our day was the fourth year. Now it's year six, right? Yeah, but we used to call it fourth year of juniors, right?
Yeah.
And then you got to sit on chairs. That was the privilege of being
in
the top year.
You?
Yeah, at the front.
Fuck.
You sat on chairs at the front or maybe the back. But, yeah, the top year all sat on chairs and the other years sat cross-legged on the floor. But the thing
we
about
were
sitting...
cross-legged, but it would be first year, second year, third year, fourth year, sat at the back of the hall.
Yeah.
Because the reasoning was I think they could be trusted more, which, of course, wasn't true.
No, you trusted less because you're less scared when you're in that year.
Yeah, exactly. So first year sat at the front next to where the teachers were.
Terrified.
But the teachers would be sat up the side of the hall on chairs... up the side, overlooking their class, who sat in rows, cross-legged.
But the thing about that I remember sitting on the floor cross-legged is there'd always be a rogue pee from lunch the day before, wouldn't there? Don't you think that was it? There'd be a pee and it'd be all dried up and you'd fucking lob it at your mate's head or flick it. Flick it at someone.
We had a completely separate school canteen.
Okay.
The school hall was.
Right.
Prefab building.
We used the same hall.
No, that was assembly.
That was what disgusting was that there was always peas. It was never anything else. It was never even a bit of sweet corn. Always a very dry pea.
I do remember one time there was one lad in the year above me and he did the most disgusting rasping fart during assembly. And it was so bad that all of the kids who were sat near him just fucking scattered and moved away in a circle almost. And he was just sat there in the middle of his circle, sitting there really pleased with what he'd done. he was hauled out.
I was never that sort of schoolboy. I'm neither proud nor ashamed. Just the fact that I was never a farter who celebrated his farts. Do you know what I mean? Like, there were certain schoolboys who would love it. They'd love it.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily like really secretive, but I wouldn't be like, "Way, yeah, it's a real stinky one." I wasn't performative about it. But one other thing, I've told you this before, but it's of interest. We don't have to go. Is that my brothers lived with my dad before I was born, right? Because it was a 10-year gap. And they went to the same primary school as me, but before I was there, they all left by the time I started. And do you know what? They never went to assembly because, as you know, in the 70s when they were at school, my dad, who still lived with my mum at the time, was a hippie, hence Barry the Hippie, right?
Yeah.
And he was part of being a hippie. He was also like sort of postured as being all left wing and radical. And he was, and actually remains, vehemently atheist. And anti-religion, like to an extent that I find absurd. And actually, the older I get, I find it
it's almost too much, isn't it?
I find it obnoxious, in actual fact, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not religious, but I am slightly spiritual.
Like Richard Dawkins kind of level. I just fucking wind it in, mate.
He loves Richard Dawkins. He thinks he's amazing. Yeah. You're like, all right, we get
just
it.
Just that people think what they think.
Exactly. And just so, like, understand that there are bad things about it, but also, like, some people just like it and it helps them. Do you know what I mean? So, like, fucking leave off, right? But he was, like, really mental about it. And my brothers never went to assembly. And I think it was, like, a bit embarrassing for them because they got to sit outside in the hall. And it's like, they're the Delaneys. They're really weird.
Yeah.
They're not allowed into assembly.
The godless Delaneys.
The godless Delaneys. But of course, by the time I come along, my dad's fucking long gone and I'm fucking Mr. Assembly. So it's quite nice having this conversation with you because I could never had it with my brothers. You know what happened in assembly today? They'd be like, no, I don't know what goes down in assemblies. I've no idea. I've never been to one in my life. And I'm like, they're really good.
We've been told that it's just pagan rituals and it's wrong.
Nah, they're good. There's peas on the floor.
You sing songs.
You get to sing songs. There's a piano. There's an overhead projector. It's fucking amazing.
Fucking hell. So that's school assemblies. Thanks to Neil for suggesting that. We've got another one lined up on Monday. I could tell you what it is. We'll knock it out on Monday and you can find out. But it's a good one. There we go. Predictions for the weekend. We'll do that somewhere else and put them up on the Twitter.
Yeah, keep an eye on it.
Prepared them.
Keep an eye on the socials.
Yeah, so there we go. Thank you very much for listening and watching, if that's what you're into. And that's that.
That's that.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.